NappyAfro.com.
The 18-year-old male victim had no weapon on him, and he had his hands up in the air, but was still shot by police multiple times.
Screw the Babylon, watch them.
Yeah. Police brutality is still a big issue in the United States.
Understand your enemy.
There are thousands of cases reported annually of police misconduct. This goes out to Timothy Stansberry.
Real
and all victims of police brutality.
Skunt.
It's time this comes to an end.
Them shoot at us, turn around and deny it. People on the streets are dying.
Real up.
We must come together, fight oppression and put the pressure.
You are now tuned into the dopest podcast for the dopest website on the internet. This is the return of the Frocast. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. Jack motherfucking Johnson. And I'm sitting in on episode 125 with the tag team partners for the family. King Germ, say what's up to the people, bro.
What's going on? It's your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. the Black Martin Baker, a.k.a. the Black Clarence Thomas, a.k.a. the Black Michael Steele, man. What's going on, people? I'm in the building.
All right. And along with Germ, we got GQ Blue. Say what's up to the people.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy GQ Blue, a.k.a. No Plantains Needed, a.k.a. Young Beans on an Elevator, a.k.a. For Real, though, Ferragamo Guevara.
It's been a while.
Billions. My man Young Billions on an Elevator. Come on. Explain it to the people, man.
Oh, well, while we've been gone, Beyonce just put Flame on everybody right before they got up for church in the morning with Nicki Minaj. And put that flawless remix. And she said, basically, y'all motherfuckers don't know how it is for billionaires on the elevator and get crazy sometimes. So I was just like, damn.
She was including Solange in that?
Obviously not.
Well, like I told somebody, it's like Eddie Murphy in Raw when it's like, you got the dude and he with the girl. She's like, well, I got a little boutique job. So now it's $300,175,000 because my weekend job. So you got to count that together.
I'm just saying, Solange got to be in there at some point.
No, man. It wasn't even $1 billion on the elevator, if y'all want to be honest, man. Because then y'all just see Nick Cannon got more money than Jay-Z. Yes, Nick Cannon got more money than Jay-Z.
But does Nick Cannon have more money than Beyonce?
Yes! Jay-Z got more money than Beyonce. Beyonce been a worker her whole life. She ain't never been a boss. So you gotta think she's been a worker.
Jay-Z the boss of what?
He's been running Rockefeller, you know, all that. He's been a boss. Beyonce always worked for somebody. See what I'm saying?
Does she have her own master's, though?
A master what? She didn't graduate from high school.
No, her music. Does she
the slang for the white people, Jern.
Oh, my bad.
Sorry. Damn, I was hoping that didn't get caught while we were doing our laughing.
I mean, we supposed to be all serious on this episode. We starting out raggedy as shit.
Sorry, people. Something did happen in the world, that I think we need to talk about.
What would that be, sir?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, it's always something in the two cities that we have a problem with in the United States. Detroit and St. Louis. And I think this one is not in Detroit. It's in the St. Louis area. So could you expound on that?
Well, something did happen in Detroit that to me is really egregious. But
it's always something egregious. Detroit. This is not about Detroit.
I like how you act like the whole state of Florida.
I mean, it's all right. Listen, we know. Listen, y'all stay in the news more than us. I mean.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes, y'all hate on us because of our nice weather, man. Y'all people are jealous. I understand. Why y'all them cold winters, the people y'all walking around in y'all big jackets and stuff and shoveling snow and frostbite and all that.
Frostbite is nothing next to that little bath salts incident y'all had.
It's all right. If I turn on TV right now, they're talking about one place.
Of course, right now.
Okay. I mean, and this is like, you know, man, but what's going on there? So, all right, let's quit sidestepping the issue. You liberal.
All right.
So, liberal.
I guess we need to get serious at some point, right? So, for the people, you know, we have millions of fans that listen to the show. We've got people in Sweden that may not know what happened. So, the incident happened. This was back on August 8th or 9th. situation was, young black man by the name of Michael Brown, who was either allegedly 17 or 18 at the time, depending on who you ask. I will be saying it a lot in this narrative. Was stopped by a police officer, unarmed, was shot to death by the police officer. Shot six times is what we came to find out now. Two of the shots are in the head. The four other shots were in the body. Mm. And this was in the middle of a black area in a black city called Ferguson, which is part of the suburb of St. Louis. About 21,000 residents, and about 2% of the police force is black. Give or take 1%. So the situation immediately became an issue. People were protesting because Michael Brown laid in the street for about 5 or 6 hours dead.
Wow. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. 5 or 6 hours?
Dead. Just laying there. Later reports, you know, release of the audio tape show that the ambulance was not called by the officer on the scene. Either of the two officers on the scene. Or the other eight officers that showed up later. Nobody called for an ambulance. So yeah, that's the groundwork for what has become a week long, 11 days. I think we're on day 11, day 10 or 11 of riots, protests by, civilians, military police gear being called in, tear gassing, arrests, gunshots by wooden and rubber bullets. It's been all out. It looks like the '60s out there, man.
Wow.
It looks like the '60s. Where were y'all at when y'all heard about this? When you started to hear about this, Jerm, where were you at when you heard the first reports either Friday or Saturday?
It was like, what was that? I was out somewhere and I was looking on Vine and I was just seeing all these vines of the protesting or something, like dudes was upset and I was just like, yo, what's going down in St. Louis? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so I really caught wind of it on Vine. And somebody was whining about it, talking about, you know, some guy just got shot and just the police just murdered my friend. And, you know, I was seeing this and I was like, what's going on? And then once I heard it, it popped off. And you know, I get excited when I see civil unrest like this because, you know, I think it has to happen every once in a while, you know, and it hasn't happened in the United States in a long time. You know, it was the last time we had some shit pop off, like, you know, in the United States with like Cincinnati a couple years ago or something like that, maybe like 10 years ago. You know, but not really pop off like L.A. riots. Now, that was some shit that had to go down for things to change. And, you know, we need change because, you know, shit is fucked up. Because, you know, like the other day, I was, you know, at my little part-time job. It's a little sports store. You know, some white guy was walking around the store with a fucking, you know, he had bought a rifle. That shit scared the fuck out of me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it scared me. But the other white guy at work was like, oh, yeah, that's a nice gun. You know, and I was thinking, like, what if Tyrone walked through with his handgun? You know, this law-abiding citizen Tyrone. You don't even know Tyrone. He might just got off work painting or something. You never know. And he got a gun in the store. I bet you my buddy wouldn't have been so calm about it. You know what I'm saying? He probably would have been like, oh, shit, black guy with a gun. You know, it's just because that threatening element that, you know, us black people are born with, you know.
That actually just happened. I'm sure the stat, our stat bro, I don't want to call you stat boy. I feel like that's disrespectful. Our stat, bro, this just happened three weeks ago. A young kid was in Walmart, picked up one of the guns that they sell, a BB gun, and ended up getting shot and killed in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation. But I'll go off into this narrative later. I was about to go into one of my rants. I'm going to Stokely down a little bit, give it to my homeboy GQ. Where were you at when you heard about the incident?
So I was... I was helping my little cousin buy shoes for school, and I saw some stuff on it, and that was during the daytime. That night, I was downtown. Somebody gave me tickets to this American Cancer Society benefit, and I had free tickets, so I was out there smoozing it up. And so I was busy that day, but I kept on seeing like little stuff about it, but I wasn't following it. So it took me till Sunday to really start looking at what was going on and actually get the story and seeing the pictures of the body, which to me almost made me throw up. Because you could see, like, the blood marks in the street. And when I saw that, I was just like, damn.
It was all bad, man. I was actually just... I believe that this happened on Friday. The report I'm looking at says Saturday day, and I feel like it was Friday. I was flying out of St. Louis. So I was in St. Louis for 2 weeks for training. I was at the airport checking on Facebook, and I saw people posting up stuff. And I was like, what's going on? I'm in the airport, don't know what's going on. There's nothing coming over the speakers. It's like the airport's its own area. By this time, it's 3:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This has been brewing. Like, at this point, people are protesting. Mike Brown's already been dead in the street for 4 hours, and there's still nothing happening in the airport. There's no – I had no idea. So by the time I touched down in Texas that night, it was like midnight, and I can actually see my Facebook. I'm like, wow, it's really hitting the fan. And my first thought was, I wish I was still there. Like, I wanted to be in the mix protesting. At that point, though, the weird part is that people were rioting first. And so I've seen a lot of the talk about riots and shit on Facebook. I want to address that shit. Everybody's real, saying, go ahead.
Real, I was going to say real quick, to be honest, my first response to seeing Mike Brown, because the hashtag has been Mike Brown. His name is Michael Brown, but people have been saying Mike Brown. He was known, went by Mike. My first reaction when I first saw it, I was like, what the hell happened to the old dude from Cleveland?
That was my first, the coach.
That's what I was like. What the hell? Like, dude died. What? People making a joke. And so it took. And you were right, Sarai. It was the reports from the NY Times saying the 9th. So that was Saturday. So August 9th, Saturday. So go ahead.
It's I don't know. I wanted to be there. I saw the riots. People were saying, "What did the riots help? Why are you tearing up your own neighborhood?" We have to understand, or at least we should understand, that a riot is not a rational act. So every time people are getting on these people about having riots and what is this helping, this ain't about helping. It's about I'm frustrated and I'm about to fuck some shit up. And just as we've said before on the issue of black on black crime, people react to the people they're closest to. The situation's closest to you is what gets it. We're not going to get in a bus and ride out of town and riot somewhere else where the issue ain't happening. We gonna react right here. So all that outrage about the riots and what is this helping, just sit back for a second and realize that this is not some calculated shit. People clowning. There's also people that are rioting, and I know Jern probably want to speak to this, that just want to get free shit.
Why I got to be the one to speak on that? As far as the rioters go, to rebuild, you have to destroy. And I mean, you know, some things, like, what's the point of you breaking into, you know, like, yeah, like the looting and stuff. Like, I ain't gonna be honest. If I seen some, I would take advantage of it, you know, just because. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's all right. You telling me somebody busts open a store, you see the Xbox One, a 65-inch screen TV, and you can get away with it. Ain't no news cameras around. I'm not gonna do it on camera, man, like that. I'm gonna have to be like, oh shit, let's go. Let's go, you know. I'm going out the back door. I'm getting mine still in the box. I'm not taking nothing. But I mean, I don't know, man. That whole situation is crazy to me. Cause looking at some of the statistics that GQ Blue sent that I'm gonna refer to, but not really refer to. I see black people get harassed more in their town than white people because it's 438 arrests versus like 30 for 40 or something for whites. And that right there, unless black, you know, this is a mostly black town, correct?
Yeah, but
how much, is it like 80% black?
It's 67%.
Oh, no, yeah. No. See, them numbers too high for, you know, the arrest rate. So obviously the police are extra in that town towards brown people is what I'm saying. So something had to be done. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted to go back to Saul Wright's point. The fact that people are asking, well, is it logical? I mean, I don't think it's logical that every other day I have to wake up and see some black kid that didn't, you know, have a gun on him get shot military style by police. That's not logical. So to keep on asking me to pray about it, to sit still, to just hold it in, like, no. Nobody's saying that rioting is logical. But it's a human response, and that's the one thing we constantly talk about. Blacks having humanity in America, we don't have. We're not allowed to shed any emotion that's seen as dangerous or counterproductive to what they say is adequate American lifestyle or living or actions. And we're not allowed to do none of that. We just got to take it, suck it up, and hope for one day that it's going to change.
It, completely valid, man. Well said. And it's we riot. We've been rioting because of injustice. When you look at the history, is civil rights rioting, is injustice rioting, is crimes against our own community rioting or looting or protesting. White people have, and look, a lot of this show, you've already heard the topic, it's gonna sound racist. You're gonna have to deal with it today. So, white people have been rioting for fucking hockey games. You win a sports championship and you're rioting. You turn the police cars over. Look, man. There's so many examples of the opposite. And this situation, it just, I've lost a lot of friends on Facebook this week. And I lost a few of those friends in real life because I can't fuck with you. If you're trying to justify Michael Brown being shot because of the report of him stealing some cigars, if you're trying to justify it because he may or may not have had marijuana in his system, if you're trying to justify it because he's 6'4 and 300 pounds, if you're trying to justify him being shot through the eye because he was attacking an officer, he was bull rushing. He was 6'4.
And two things on that. One, I don't know if y'all know, but there was no way he could have actually held $50 worth of swishes. Do you know how many crates $50 of swishes will buy you?
Hey, that was the post I put on Facebook. That's a lot of damn swishes.
You could have your own swisher factory if you got $50. Things is cheap as hell.
I don't get it, man.
And also, it's not just white people trying to justify this. It's a lot, and I'm gonna get to that later. It's a lot of black people out here trying to say, well, if he would have done X, Y, and Z too. And I'm gonna touch on that later, but I'm sorry, sorry, right to cut you off.
No, I mean, you're good. That's how this show is gonna go. You know what I'm saying? It's so much to try and rationalize and speak to calmly, and there's some, and that's kind of why this shit is happening the way it needs to happen. Jern was mentioning before that he was talking about, you know, relating this directly to Ferguson, and that's valid. However, the problem is that this same situation, no matter the statistics, are the same across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have, I don't know five black dudes that can't say, or that can say that they haven't been harassed by police. I can name all my white friends and they've never been harassed.
Shoot, I was just harassed 3 months ago by police in Louisville, Kentucky.
It happens all the time. I was just harassed in Waco for driving. That's it.
Me too. And for some reason, I still can't believe. It was never going to be right, but I could have at least kind of caught it if I would have looked the part. You know, if I would have had my shorts on, you know, my basketball shorts on and a tall. You know, I had on jeans and a Shaw cardigan, man. I even looked the part.
Don't matter. You looked the part. You don't have the complexion for the protection. So you looked the part. And that's the same narrative. And that's why I'm kind of, you know, on Facebook, I haven't been mincing any words. At first, I was just posting the articles. I was posting, you know, how the media has posted so many articles where the black people are portrayed as thugs and maybe on something. And we talk about their crimes and white people are shooting up schools and we're calling them troubled teens. I posted these different articles. I posted articles about the many black men that have been shot and killed unarmed, the many black women that have been shot and killed unarmed. I even went as far as posting the other articles about white folks that have been unarmed and been killed by police. There's clearly an aggressive intent with the cops. Unfortunately, we seem to be getting the brunt of it most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so the problem, and I feel like more of my white friends – or my non-black friends need to be speaking up on this issue, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that annoys the shit out of me. And then when they do speak up, they're siding with the cops, and then you get deleted. Because there's no way you could justify this to me at all. Mm-hmm. Even if Michael Brown was running at the cop, he didn't have a fucking weapon. You got tasers, you got pepper spray, you got reinforcements, you got all this other shit. But you shot him 6 times, yo. So trying to take the officer's side to me means that you think that it's justified. And if you think it's justified, I don't fuck with you. Black or white, I don't fuck with you. You're gone. There's nothing I want to hear. Jern. Is Jern back yet? I think we lost Jern earlier.
Did we?
Yeah, he dropped off the call. Skype is hating on us. You know, we talk about some real shit. Skype is hating on us.
So Vince ain't the only one to be trying to cut our calls?
Nah, man. Skype, you know, Skype, they mad at us. They've been mad at us for a while.
Man, we paid the bill. I mean, it was late. We put something on it.
Man, we let Be Easy pay it, so you know how that goes, man.
Chase coming from Dubai, so they gotta take a little while.
Something like that.
And they get circumvented through Malaysia. They was on that plane and went down.
Oh, come on, man. Shit.
I'm not laughing. That's not right. I'm not laughing.
I'm talking the one that disappeared, man. The one that just disappeared. That's why I checked
into you. Shit. So yeah, going through all of this shit, I haven't seen you post too much about this, Jeremy. Have you been dealing with the Facebook fallout from this situation?
I see it. I just don't say nothing. I said this one out. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, first, I ain't going to front my beef was with Obama. You know what I'm saying? When it first happened. Because, you know, because when this happened, Robin Williams died and Obama put a statement out. Like, you know, about 15 minutes after Robin Williams killed himself, committed suicide. I'm not going to say died. Obama had something to say. But then 4 days later, he released a statement about this the Michael Brown situation that was going on in Ferguson. I feel as a black president, black lowercase b president, he should have said something, sooner. I mean, because because when Skip Gates got harassed by the police, he was all up in that. But Michael Ferguson get killed, you know, another unarmed black teenager gets killed by the police, and you sit on it, you know, you sit on your hands. So my beef was with Obama first, so I went to him for this whole situation. I really, and like I said, I just stay on the sidelines because, you know, I'm not an activist. You know, I'm not, you know, I help the youth. And, you know, that's, I do my work in the community. I let the guys like GQ Blue and Saul Wright that can speak eloquently and you know, convey a nice message, let them do all that. I just sit back because, you know, that's not my lane. So that's why I be cool on it.
So,
but I be noticing. I be noticing.
You touched on that too, though. What should Obama have said? What would have been a proper response for you?
I think sometimes I want him to come down a little swift, you know what I'm saying, and be more, you know, do something besides quoting me and Jay-Z lyrics, shooting three-pointers and, you know, and singing Let's Stay Together. You know, that stuff, you know, that's nice and all. Like, you in your last couple years of being a president, you know what I'm saying? Show some balls, man. Do something, you know what I'm saying? Appease some black people. Do something to make black people happy. You know, it wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't kill you to do something for black people. That's all I'm saying. You know, and so I feel like he should have, like, what she's done, I don't know. I mean, come, you know, put that federal, like, put some pressure on these guys. Like, no, we're going to arrest this nigga now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Do some shit like that. Like, I want to talk to this nigga right now why you killed a kid, shot him 6 times, and, you know, that's what I want to know. Use your presidential power. You know, bring that man. Don't let the little local government hand is like, do something, Obama. That's all I'm saying. You in your last 2 years, they can't do nothing to you. I mean, you already gave back 5 suspected terrorists for one guy that deserted, you know what I'm saying, the army. I mean, what the hell? Like, what's that about? You know what I'm saying? So, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, Obama, do something. Like, you know, you always chastising black people, you know, national, you know, 5 black fathers and, you know, finger wagging at us and shit. But do something for us sometime, man, you know. So that's my beef. I'm sorry.
What about you, GQ? What did you think about Obama's response or lack thereof to the situation?
You know, as been stated on my Facebook and my conversation and on this show and on this platform, I have been very critical of our president. And I've been thinking about that lately, and I see, you know, the way other people react to him and talk about, oh, you know, the president this, and I see the post talk about what my president has done and, you know, everything. And I've slightly, I don't know, I'm still in the process of trying to figure out where I see his place in all of this. And this is not me trying to give him a pass for his responses, because I'm like Jerm, I thought they were very weak. Especially the ones that came out, I don't know if you guys saw the ones that came out yesterday. He spent about first 15 to 18 minutes talking about ISIS and Iraq, and then he spent the last moments talking about Ferguson. Right. So you don't have to say that. He basically said, and I don't think I am misrepresenting the president when I say this, but he basically said, I, as the president, can't do too much because I have to remain unbiased. And I have to make sure that I don't do too much. And you know, I'll never forget my mentor, the great Dr. Ricky Jones, had made a comment. This is before Obama was president, or right, or shortly, either right before or shortly after he was elected. And we were talking about black people's expectations and adulation for Obama at the time. And he'll always make the point that during the debates that Obama said he would give sacrosanct support to Israel in any time of crisis or war. And he may look up that word sacrosanct, meaning unabashed, whole, unquestioned. And if you can go and give a nation that kind of support outside of your country, but anytime anything black comes up, it has to be, oh, I have to wait and see. And we can talk all day about, you know, Israel's, you know, actions against Palestine, whether it's right, wrong, is humane. But we're going to, no matter what happens there, we're going to make sure that they have support. But you have a domestic issue that you have to, you know, hold your tongue on? Like, come on, man.
See, I'm kind of torn because I'm usually one of the people that gives Obama clearance. Like, I give him a pass because it's fucked up to be in that situation, to be the figurehead of a country that hates you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So there's always that undercurrent going on with anything that happens. So I understand him not making a really strong statement, because if you're the president of this country, you can't step outside of the processes which are set up and run by you and your administration. You can't circumvent those to try and make a statement, because everything is going to go awry. So I get that part of it. However, you could have added, you could have been with that bullshit statement he made. He basically said, we need to be calm on both sides. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. But you could have said that if it comes out that this officer was negligent or aggressive or didn't act within his rights, justice will be swift. It'll be harsh. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Make the statement so that you're saying, okay, I've got to let the process work, but through the process, if we find out this is some bullshit, it's going to be some consequences. And that would have been enough, I think, for most people. Instead, what you said was, you people out here rioting, you need to respect the authority. And the authority out here, you need to respect the people. And I'm out. What the fuck is that? Your job is not to be a referee. You're the power in this situation. So I was mad about this shit, but I don't know that he has a winning hand to play. There's not going to be a winning hand. There's no way for him to get out of this situation and look like a winner. It's all fucked up.
And also, I want to say this too, for everybody who's saying that, you know, the president came out with My Brother's Keeper initiative and, oh, he's finally giving people what they want. It's not what you think. My Brother's Keeper is an initiative that spoke to the fact that young men of color face specific barriers because of institutionalized circumstances. But it's not like, okay, Obama invested billions of dollars to do this. What's happened is that through collaboration of different cities and different already existing organizations, they set up a framework. And now they're trying to get cities to find resources to go about and putting those frameworks into action. So I think, I mean, it is a good initiative, but once again, I'm always afraid when people start saying, oh, well, the president did this and now everything is fine. I'm like, no, it's not. And I think that's my thing about Obama supporters is, you know, and you know, to be honest, like Saul Rice, who's a supporter, yes, that man faces issues that no other president ever had to face because of the race of his skin, the color of his skin, and the race he happens to be. And I get that. And I get that, you know, no other time has this country ever seen its own Congress say outright that we're gonna make sure that this president doesn't get anything done. We're gonna sue the president. I get that. But I need you also to understand, people who support the president, that he can't be your end-all, be-all, and we need some people on the ground. We need some critics of the president, and understand that he can't get it done for whatever reason. For, like Saul Rice said, for a system that's not really designed for him to even be here in the first place. So you're gonna have to, you know, much you love Obama like Jesus, you're gonna have to do some more work too, and don't get mad at people that are doing it.
But Obama said that when he ran. Like, none of this, that's not even news. He said that, like, I'm gonna need your help. And we had the same motherfuckers. It was like, yo, president's in. I'm about to go party. We started having Obama parties and niggas was losing their job that night because they came in drunk the next day. Like, so we still haven't been doing our part in the situation. But I feel like we're getting off track.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what they tried to do with Mike Brown. They released a video of him stealing the cigarillos. Mm-hmm. They started talking about him.
How convenient.
Let's explain this to our people in Sweden again. So this event occurred on the 9th. The name was released on the 13th, 14th?
Whatever that Friday.
No, the same day as the video came out.
No, I'm talking about the cop.
The same day they released the cop names, they released the video of him stealing from the store.
Seven days after the incident.
Yes.
So, and the order that it was done was Mike Brown's name was out, Mike Brown's pictures were out, Mike Brown's thug pictures were out, suspicion about Mike Brown stealing stuff was out. We had no name for the officer. So we were allowed to stew on this and the images of him dying in the street, the riots, all of this shit. We're painting all this picture. 6 days later, we get a video still. Well, first we got the still shots of Mike Brown looking like he punched the shit out of the clerk. And then we get the name of the officer. We still don't have a picture of the officer. Later on the same day, we get video of Mike Brown in the store, and the video that we get looks like he stole some cigars and walked out. The full video that you get another 2 days later, we still haven't seen a picture of this officer, is that it looked like he picked up the box of cigars and put them back and kept the ones that he paid for before. If you haven't seen the full video, you know, we'll link it in the article. But there doesn't look like theft there.
He might have said, I don't want grape. I said, cognac, you know what I'm saying, whatever, who knows.
It, like, he picked up, right, exactly. It looked like there was a conversation going on, and he put back the cigars, and his homeboy, who allegedly came up with the story first, who didn't mention the robbery, because why the fuck would I? he put his cigars back, too. And the clerk that was in the store didn't call the cops. So all this shit comes out after the fact. This is all after the fact.
Can we also already say put the fact this in your
face?
Can we also talk about the fact that they called them cigars in the news media, which I thought was hilarious? Like, there was, like, some real fine cigars they could say it. I thought that to me was just funny. Like, they were some Rellos. Like, they was some
Yeah, basically. But that's how they've been doing Rellos. The whole story. That's how they've been doing the whole story. You know what I mean? It's always been rushing to get information out and not getting it correct and trying to find that line between how fancy you want to make this shit sound and how much you want to victimize Mike Brown. At the end of the day, the police report says $50 worth of swishes. How the fuck can you say, talk about it, Jeremy. I know that you know a little bit about this industry.
Oh, goddamn. All right, so we know that two blunts, two cigarillos come in a four pack for $1. So if he had $50 worth, so he had damn near 100 blunts.
It's like a pallet. A switch.
So, you know, exactly. So, and then you get in a pack, like in a whole box, I think like 15 come in a whole box. So they saying, you know, no disrespect to Mike Brown when he died. So when he died, did he have blunts all over the street where he was?
I didn't see any pictures of blunts.
If you had $50 worth of blunts, you had to have, you got 50 packs of blunts.
So he got to have all that in his pockets.
Come on, they had to be all around the street. Unless he smoked that much weed from the time he left the store to the time of the shooting. You know, because they did say that weed was found in his system. Of course, he was buying blunts at the store. What did you think was going to be in his system? Like, it's just funny how the media portrays, like how they spin things, man. Like, that shit is like not even the media or how certain sides spin stories. Like, you know, like, let's say, for instance, we got a big lawsuit going against some company, some big pharmacy company or whatever, It's just like how they make you look bad. Like, I don't understand them, you know. The best way to discredit somebody is to smear them, right? Or whatever they say.
That's pretty much it. We need to explain this to our people over in Sweden. So the story goes, the officer's story goes, that he approached them in the street, told them to get out the middle of the street. They were jaywalking. And then
they were high out of their mind, because they were high out of their mind, just walking down the middle of the street.
I've been high before, and I have had no energy to do shit. So that's just me. But So he approaches them about jaywalking, comes back, and apparently Mike Brown ran up on the car, and the officer was trying to get out of the car. Mike Brown wouldn't let him, and he punched him in the face, and the officer was trying to get him off the door, and somehow Mike Brown reaches through the door and tries to grab the gun, and the officer, they're fighting over the gun. Now, again, this is Mike Brown, 6'4", 300 pounds or so, fighting against an officer who is how tall, how small.
4'8". Yeah,
this motherfucker is minuscule as shit, but he's able to fight him off with the gun.
Just hanging off of him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's able to fight him off with the gun, and then at some point, Mike Brown says, "Okay, fuck it, I didn't get the gun, I'm gonna run away." Yeah. He starts to run away. The cop shoots. Mike Brown stops, turns around, and then starts running towards the officer.
Wow.
And he shot 6 shots, the last 2 in the head. This is how the story went from the officer.
Okay, but didn't I hear, so where did the whole don't shoot hands in the air thing come from then?
Well, the officer, that didn't happen according to the officer. That's not in the officer's report. That's in the witness's report, the alleged witness's report, by 10 or 15 different people that live in Canfield Green.
So
that saw the incident. And
okay, so if 10 or 15 witnesses saw the officer do this, why isn't the officer arrested?
Well,
because I know if 10 or 15 people saw a man hit a woman and they reported it, that man would get arrested, correct?
That would normally happen, but one of the people who saw it was with him in the store when he stole the cigarillo, so he don't count.
Okay, so 14 other people saw this.
Well, we haven't talked to any of those 14 people, so right now it's just hearsay.
I'm not a connoisseur of marijuana. But I also don't think it gives you like supernatural powers. Like I don't think this is Reefer Madness, where if I could take 9 to 10, this is not Scarface, where I inhale maybe about a good pound worth of cocaine, I can take 10-15 shots. So I doubt this gave him extraneous powers to be able to withstand 8 shots where that was necessary. Is what I'm saying.
Look, man, people that listen to the Frocast and listen to this broadcast right now, look up Harrison Act of 1914. This is the same shit they said about us in 1914 when they passed a law that allowed for officers to carry bigger caliber weapons. They said that blacks and Mexicans are getting high on drugs and they're raping women and attacking people. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. It's the same shit they said about Rodney King. He's high up on coke and we can't take him down, so we're going to beat the fuck out of him. It's the same shit. Every time this shit happens, it's the same shit. I've never shot a gun, so the odds of me going for an officer's gun in an altercation makes no sense. I never shot it. What the fuck do I know what to do with a gun? But somehow every time a police officer or someone with a weapon approaches some black person with a weapon, we go for the gun. Every time. Yes. Trayvon Martin was 6'2", 180 pounds. Zimmerman was what? 5'9", 250 pounds. Trayvon went for the gun. He didn't get the gun and got shot. This situation, Mike Brown is 6'4", 300 pounds. The officer is 4'1", 100 pounds, and we went for the gun again and still didn't get it and got shot 6 times. You got to understand that there's a systematic situation here. We're not just making this shit up.
Come on, Sawright. We a bunch of butt-scratching savages, man. We don't know better. We gotta be taken down with extreme force.
Not only that, every time someone fears for their life, we're unarmed. So the idea that your black skin automatically makes me scared of you is a narrative that's going around too.
Well, I mean, come on, it's all right. I'm a trained 10th degree black belt that can use my 18 foot long penis as a nunchuck and bop you upside the head with it. So I can understand why people feel like we are armed, we're not armed. So
absolutely. I am automatically stronger, better, faster. I can beat your ass. I can kill you.
And as I kill you,
me looking at you scary is enough for you to say you got to die.
Because black people do have Medusa powers. If we stare at you hard enough, you will turn to stone. And then we will take our 18-foot penises, break your stone body, and then moonwalk because we are awesome dancers and do a layup.
And not only that, we do all this shit while we're wearing sagging clothes and baggy t-shirts. Because I'm sure that you would be less scared if I put on a suit. Last time I checked, Martin shot him in a suit.
Thank you. Respectability politics.
Last time I checked, Malcolm X was shot in a suit. Last time I checked, Emmett Till was dragged in a suit. So the suit don't mean shit. At the end of the day, the problem is still the same. The problem hasn't changed. And we keep dealing with it, which is why we have people out in the streets protesting and being upset and talking about this shit. I shouldn't have to explain that shit to you, but some people don't get it. Is Germ still here? I think we lost Germ again.
I think Germ should be on mute.
Nah, it pops. It'll tell
I'm on mute because it's thundering.
Oh, he there now. It popped again.
That's why I have on mute when I'm not talking.
That's cool. That's what happened is you got the storm out there, so Skype is acting a fool. But I feel like we need a music break because the second part I want to talk about, because we're going to try and keep this show kind of concise, is about the response of Black on Black. What about Black on Black crime? Why are we protesting this and we're not protesting Black on Black crime? Why is it okay for blacks to kill other blacks, but when a white person kill a black person, we're upset about it? I'm sure you've seen this. I want to talk about this shit. I need a break to cool off because I'm pissed. This is episode 125 of the Frocast with your man Saul Wright, King German, GQ Blue. We'll be right back after a little bit of music. Don't shoot nobody in the break. Don't kill nobody in the break because they're going to talk about the crime that you did yesterday. This is Frocast, NappyAfro.com.
Take it slow like way back in the day, yo. Papa Fuego. Everybody say ho. Everybody say ho. Everybody say ho. And check it out now. Got eating out on the town to make the whole dining room turn their head round. Mr. Nigga, nigga, nigga. He got the speakers in the trunk with the bass on crunk. Who be riding up in the high rise elevator? Other tenants who be praying he ain't the new neighbor. Mr. Nigga, nigga, nigga. They try to play him like a chump cause he got what they want. He under 30 years old, but already he's a pro. Designer trousers slung low cause his pockets stay swole. Can afford to get up and be anywhere he go. VIP at the club, backstage the show. The best crib, the best clothes. Hottest whips on the road, neck and wrist on froze. Checks with O's, O's. Played all across the globe, watch got 3 time zones. The digital phone up to his dome. 2 assistants, 2 bank accounts, 2 homes, 1 problem. Even with the O's on his check, the po-po stop him and show no respect. They're a problem. Damn straight is called race to motivate the J to give chase. Say they want you successful, but that ain't the case. You living large, your skin is dark, they flashing light in your face. Now who is the cat dining out on the town? Make your D wanna take a whole year to sit him down. Mr. Nigga, nigga, nigga. He got the speakers in the trunk with the bass on crunk. Now, who is the cat at Armani by your wares? With the tourists will be asking them, do you work here, Mr. Nigga? Nigga, 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 nigga. Yo, the abstract with the mighty most deaf. White folks gotta mumble the cross beneath their breath.
I didn't say it.
But they'll say it out loud again when they get with their close associates and friends. You know, sneak it in with their friends at the job. Happy hour at the bar while the song is in their car. And even if it's never said and lips stay sealed, their actions reveal how their hearts really feel. Like, late night I'm on a first class flight. The only brother in sight, the flight attendant catch fright. I sit down in my seat 2C. She approach officially talking about excuse me. Her lips curl up into a tight space. She don't believe that I'm in the right place. Showed her my water pass. And then she saw the gas. All embarrassed put an extra line on my water glass. An hour later here she come by walking past. I hate to be a pest but my son would love your autograph.
Wow.
I have all your albums. They stay on nigga patrol on American roads, but when you travel abroad, they got world nigga law. Some folks get on the plane, go where they please, but I go overseas and I get overseas. London Heathrow, me and my people, they think that illegals are synonym for Negro. Far away places, customs agents flagrant. They think the dog faces smuggle weight in their cases. Bags inspected, now we arrested. Attention directed to contents of our intestines. Urinalysis followed by x-rays. Interrogated and detained to damn near the next day. No evidence, no apology, and no regard. Even for the big American rap star. For us especially, us most especially. And Mr. Nigga VIP jail cell, just for me.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake.
Just got some shoe polish, paint on my face. They say they want you successful, but then they make it stressful. You start keeping pace, they start changing up the tempo. Now, who is the cat riding out on the town? State trooper wanna stop him in his ride, pat him down.
Mr. Nigga, nigga, nigga. He He got the speakers in the trunk with the bass on crumb. Now, who is the cat with the $100 bill? They got to send it to the lab to make sure the shit is real. Mr. Nigga. Nigga, nigga. Nigga, nigga. Nigga. You can laugh and criticize Michael Jackson if you wanna. Woody Allen molested and married his stepdaughter. Same press kicking dirt on Michael's name. Show Woody and Soon Yi at the playoff game. Hold a hand. Just sit back and just think about that. Would he get that type of dap if his name was Woody Black? OJ found innocent by jury of his peers, and they've been fucking with that nigga for the last 5 years. Is it fair? Is it equal? Is it just? Is it right? Do you do the same shit when a defendant faces white? If white boys doing it well, it's success. When I start doing it well, it's suspect. Don't hate me, my folks is poor, I just got money. America's 5 centuries deep in cotton money. You see a lot of brothers caked up, yo, straight up. It's new, y'all living off a slave trader's paper. But I'ma live though, you I'ma live though. I'm putting up the big swings for my kids, yo. Got my mom the fat waterfront crib, yo. I'ma get a damn pretty bay window. I'ma cop a nice home to abide in. A safe environment for seeds to reside in. The fresh trip for my whole family to ride in. And if I'm still Mr. Nigga, I won't find it surprising. Surprising.
Revolutionary, scary, thought-provoking, spoken words of a change I don't feel, but I see visions for me at 23, making it free in my community. One day is what I live for, ain't thinking about no hope no more. I got my boots, I kick until I get wet. Adapt and overcome, oh hum hum. Go get my gun, load up for fun, and put it down with a frown. But go around, cause round from MLK to Cascade. I know it's through them penny figures, cocaine dealers throw the walk signs off in their rhymes. Looking cleaner than I seen them the last time. They selling dimes, now it's quarter keys, stacking G's in the South Indies. My nigga, them folks riding bicycles, I'm all vehicles off in the hood. Know what each and every nigga selling. But can you blame? In fact, the only way your brother can survive the game. To fly hard to get by the dope dealing, fatal killings and fair time. To write and rhyme, it ain't just the police. We kill each other, just lost another brother. Fast living to get your took. Thinking it can't happen to you, and then it do. Off crooked schemes, that's the dream. Floating face down in the mainstream.
Black and niggas when it ain't all peaches and cream. That's why so many fine folks face down in the mainstream.
They sworn diving. If their name be Gretchen von Ivan, phone car rushing to finish the album. Did you find them? Lost dog pedaling, backstroking. What done happened? Deep rhyme, the catch of the day. When the recipe called for black and wrong ingredients. Maybe too much herbs and spices. Maybe you got hungry for the wrong dish of them greens. And it's enticing how them Jones just sang. So I'm gonna sing just like them to get where they at. I'll even break my back to touch they rim. If I gotta, my alter mater be that I follow. I bite whatever that's looking tasty, water it down and then swallow. I hope you vomit. Won't call no names, cause that's not my job. It just applies to who it may concern. You know who you are. But if you don't, you never will. You just proceed to steal. But then it might get ugly, cause trust me, niggas do feel the way that I felt when I wrote this. But we must stay in focus. Be kings and queens up in this thing. Get rid of all them jokers. Face down, face down, face down.
Thank you, niggas, when it ain't all peaches and cream. That's why some of my folks face down in the mainstream.
I let you stay in my crib. Now you know where I live. When you was hungry, fed you a hot meal. Look at the hand you deal. Me crew at ball business, niggas giving inches, so he'll take a foot. Luck only counts in rabbit's feet and horseshoes. Experience is sometimes the best teacher until we get our own plate. I hope you don't mind me eating off of yours. Process, mama monkey like Jerry. Meanwhile, fairies up the street, sprinkling pixie dust over greenery. Never to attain another level of conscience, yes, only to test the potency. Why land here? They scheme over one another, mouth to feed, disdained with decisions to make. Let words shape your destiny. But we'll miss them taking all the way. Just as quick as you can say, I wish I never did what I did. Now face this bid. It was the company you kept, the many places you slept when you shouldn't have. Geeking like a rat, jumping like a trap. Contributing to sin, and your nigga bitch in the club showing pink for 10. They got you niggas where they want you again. Floating face down in the mainstream. That's why.
All peaches and cream. That's why some of my folks face down in the mainstream.
Everybody's a player, rubbing them Kangos on their heads, thinking it's all about your flow, nigga. It's all about yourself, the way you feel about your life. The time that you done shared with your friends and family, up and down like hoes compared to dicks. Oh, six, seven of them in the mix, but ain't no mystery. You know the history about this click, bitch. Oh, what? You want me to call you slut, but why you fucking all them niggas, letting them all up in your guts? But see that A's, I'm afraid, I think that's why I play the quiet role. I lay in a cut every month, looking to let that fire roll like chimneys and smoke signals, maybe peace lights even. My partners call me Big Boy, and my first name is not Steven. In the mainstream, the home team, banging them with these hits in the mix, blowing like some motherfucking swordfish.
Think it is when it ain't all peaches and cream. That's why some of my folks face down in the mainstream. Think it is when it ain't all peaches and cream. That's why some of my folks face down in the mainstream. Think it is when it ain't all peaches and cream.
That's why are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Burt or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was then? Where is your history? How did a man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Motherfuckers, I just bought some new chuckers. The old ones bloodied up from stomping out old suckers. Big bad killer, big black gorilla. King Kong on you monkey ass niggas. Steppin' fish, funky ass, flunky ass niggas. Dick in the booty for your mouth ass niggas. I don't fear no man. Not Bush, not Clinton, not Osama. Ask your Uncle Thomas how he choose mass over Obama. You could have $1 million and a white collar. Liberation costs more than a damn dollar. It costs what Christ gave, King gave, X gave. $1 billion don't make you an ex-slave. Nigga with an attitude since fifth grade. I'd never behave. I'd rather be a dead man than a live slave. We can say what we like. Put the pressure on me. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on me. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on me. Well, goddamn it, I'm gone. Put the pressure on me. Put the pressure on me, homie. Put the pressure on me. I'm here to deprogram you. Don't forget what they made your great grandmama do. What they made your great granddaddy do. Without a dollar or a penny or a thank you. The same motherfuckers wanna gank you. Cause they hate you and the pussy that you came through. Could anybody tell me that it ain't true? That these motherfuckers ain't out to hurt you. They'll lock you up, beat you up and work you. Put your life on a 30-year curfew. Little cell, little window for you to look through. Even got a little chair where he can cook you. Nigga, please, I'ma be in the breeze. Beat him up with my brain like the Japanese. Now I'm overseas and I'm trapping these. Thank God I didn't have to cock and squeeze.
We can say what we like. Put the pressure on me. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on me. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on me. Well, goddamn it, I'm gone. Put the pressure on me. Put the pressure on me, homie. Put the pressure on me. Put the pressure on me, homie. Put the pressure on me. With your poor pen, our king had dreams and a big vision. All you give us is government and religion. Is you a freedom fighter or a stool pigeon? Is you down for your people in the big mission? Are you a dirty nigga working for a fucking Clinton? Are you a dirty nigga working for a fucking Bush? Another message for the politicians. Better get the police off our ass quickly. If another old lady die in this city, swear to God we'll burn out a fucking city. Big schemes, big dreams, yeah, I'm with it, folks. But 20 years of selling dope, just a fucking joke. And so what, you the man with that white man.
said sorry, tell him kiss thy ass. We don't need it, motherfucker, you can keep it for yourself. I wish you nothing but pain and bad health. I hope luck run away from you and wealth. No honor in life, no honor in death. You a Judas to us, nigga, kill yourself.
We can say what we like, put the pressure on me. Ice Cube and Killer Mike, put the pressure on me. I can do what I want, put the pressure on me. Well, goddamn it, I'm gonna put the pressure on me.
Civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourselves. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.
All right, so I've seen this all over my timeline. I'm sure that y'all have seen it. Hopefully you haven't had the conversation. I've had to have the conversation before. It's come from black people. The white people say it. We already paint them as KKK. Fuck out my face. The black people who say it get supporters. Why are y'all out there protesting? I mean, what is this going to do? What about when black people kill black people? I didn't see nobody protesting for Chicago. What about that? GQ Blue, what about that?
Well, I got stats for your ass, so we can talk.
Well, give me some stats then, because I don't see nothing. I live in Chicago. I ain't seen no protests, but as soon as some white man kills somebody, y'all care.
One thing I always want to know about Chicago is the fact that people say, well, what about Chicago? How many people actually live in Chicago to make that statement? I only have seen one person who says, what about Chicago? They actually live in Chicago to give me that statement. That deflecting ass statement.
Which is part of that's part of my response, right? Is you don't see the shit that communities protesting because you don't live in those communities.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of shit that I don't know about that goes on in Chicago.
And there's a lot of shit that goes on in Ferguson that motherfuckers don't know about either. This is the straw that broke the camel's back. But go ahead. What about those stats? Why should I care more about black crime, or do we not care enough about black crime, or why the fuck should I protest for this bullshit?
Well, if you listen to this wonderful episode of the Frocast, which you can listen to on Thursday at 8 o'clock a.m. on the Dopest website on the internet, nappyafro.com, you would have heard my man Saul Wright so eloquently say that crime is done out of proximity. Nobody's about to go 80, 90, miles over to the next town to go commit a crime. You know, I know, of course, we think about, oh, that's the rich part of town, I'm going to go hit it up. But nobody does that, because most people who are committing crimes because they do not have much or many resources. So if I don't have a lot, how am I going to get out to somewhere? So I probably don't have a car. If I don't have gas money to get my homie a car who doesn't want to be accessory to a crime, so I'm going to stay right next to myself, which points to the fact that this country is still vastly segregated and not as integrated as we think it is. Mm. And if you want to talk about black people killing each other or black people getting in crime with one another, it's about 94%. All crimes committed against black people are majority black people. Yeah, 94% is a staggering, despicable number. But guess what? 89% of white people commit crimes against white people. It's white on white crime. We never talk about, oh man, why can't whites just stop killing each other? We don't talk about that. We never diagnose it that way. We never set up the argument that way. But let some black people kill, oh, what are black people doing against one another? Why can't they just get right? Like, we don't ever say that bullshit.
Can I say something real quick? I'm pretty sure the stats will be on our side that more white people have killed more white people than black people have killed black people.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, just over time, I mean, they, you know, just, good gracious, like, white people are all savages. And let's not forget, like, the Romans, they were fucking savages. The Mongrels, hey, we're going to count them as white people. I mean, you know, the Civil War. The English, listen, white people, y'all are savages. We are not the savages.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be honest.
And we don't even have to go back that far, but even, you know, yes. that's a good point. But for the fact is, it's only about 40 million of us in the country. The country's 318 million. So.
You know, so yeah, just by numbers, just by mere numbers, that's how it works. The other part of that is what I said earlier, is that, yeah, you see this issue, it blew up because race is an issue in this country. You motherfuckers that say you're colorblind, I got to steal this from Twitter. I wish I knew the person's name. But fuck being colorblind. I'm black as hell and you're going to recognize that shit. Don't tell me you're colorblind. Fuck you for not recognizing that I'm different.
Exactly. That's the subtleness of white superiority. Because we have to view everything in the instance of whiteness. We don't have to call it whiteness. We're like, I'm colorblind. I don't see color.
Nigga, the default color is pink.
like real talk. You only tell Tyrone you don't see color. You don't tell Matt you don't see color.
Of course not.
Matt has an issue. You don't like, oh, Matt, I don't see color. I don't see your color. I just see you, Matt. But let Tyrone say that. Oh, Tyrone, how could you ever say that?
I'm so tired of hearing that shit, man. So that's the first part of it, is that colorblind shit is for the birds. The second part of it is what I was saying is that, yes, you see this issue because it hit the fan. Everybody sees it. There have still been protests in local communities that we don't talk about. California, Harlem, Chicago, St. Louis. They've all had riots within the last 2 or 3 years. Well, not riots. They've all had protests in the last 2 or 3 years combating crime. Stop the Violence movement. The Bloods and Crips cut an album together. You know what I'm saying? This is not new. So people that are acting brand new, how about what the fuck have you been doing about Chicago? Before you worry about what GQ Blue is doing or what Saul Wright or what King Germ are doing in this protest or posting about on our Facebook or why we're tweeting so many images of shit, what the fuck have you been doing about Chicago? Because if you ain't been doing shit, don't worry about the fuck I'm doing over here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People have their own vices. People have their own issues. If your cousin was killed last week and it didn't get national news, then that's your fucking fault. You didn't make it a big enough deal. Do better. The media is going to cover the stories that are brought to them. And when people started standing out and protesting and calling the news and forming assemblies and all that shit, the news got involved. And they're flying in from all over the world. Why? Because people made it a story. You didn't do it, so shut the fuck up. Quit bringing up other shit.
And I think that's the big thing. I think people need to understand, or they don't understand, or they should understand, that there is life outside of media coverage. Just because it's not on your news channel, your 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, I mean, it goes on. That's the frustrating thing for me is, well, what are y'all doing about Chicago? Or what are y'all doing about? I could name countless organizations that are dedicated to reducing black on black crime and violence, decreasing opportunities in the black community. I can give you 10 right now.
Shit, we've got 2 people on this call right now that are working every day to reduce black on black crime. Germ is working with kids. Football. He's keeping these motherfuckers' minds focused. He's keeping them out the street. He's teaching them better values. That happens every day. Ain't nobody talking about Germ. Ain't nobody singing Germ's praises. But he's not doing enough. GQ Blue is always out here giving sermons, wearing bow ties, and suited up and representing us in the best way possible. But ain't
as
nobody
well as
talking
actually
about
working
GQ.
On policy.
Yes.
He's up for education reforms and education opportunities. I mean, but nobody talks about that. Because how does that sell? Oh, let's look at this black man and his football. I mean, every once in a while you might for the fact that it's a good feel-good story, but we're not going to show the fact that, you know, the kids in Germ's program, they've been in this program 6 months, had better grades in school, and now, you know, compete for scholarships to go to college. I mean, nobody's going to read that story.
Y'all don't want to hear that shit.
Nobody wants to know that GQ Blue signed up 900 kids for college resources. They might hear it once, but you don't want to hear that on a 24-hour news cycle. It wouldn't be ratings.
So we can't do that. So we can't promote it. So, you know, you motherfuckers out here is the worst. The same people that has that response, you're the problem. You're the fucking problem.
My question is, when did black people not step up to the call to look in-house and address our own issues?
All the time. Like, that's usually the response, is don't talk about this shit in front of white people.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't have it every way. You can't want us to not talk about it in front of other company, and then we do talk about it, you want us to talk about something else. Like, y'all need to figure out what the fuck y'all focused on, man. And that's y'all is the naysayers. The people that are upset about these riots. I got people out there that are doing the peaceful protests. My boy is out there and he's telling me that he's in the middle of protests in Ferguson And as a young dude, after the video came out that Friday, after the video came out and the name came out, he was just pissed off. And he's like, yo, I'm done with this peaceful shit. I'm about to shoot some people. And he was dead ass. And my boy had to talk him down. People are frustrated. And him talking that one dude down may have saved several lives. We don't know. If he had a weapon and he had the intent and he wanted to shoot some people, he could have saved his life and officers' lives or other people's lives. People are like that out there protesting as well. So we're still doing our own thing. Don't let these news people with these stories of folks acting out and rioting. And yes, there are people out there stealing shit. Anytime there is an opportunity, somebody's going to take advantage of it and misuse it from all factors of life. Anywhere you go to, that's what's going to happen. So there's people out there stealing shit because they want to steal shit. There was a picture conveniently last night. Now, we haven't – I don't know about you two. Have y'all seen anybody with any pictures of Molotov cocktails being thrown?
No.
Jeremy, have you seen any? I don't think Jeremy's seen any either by his silence. Mm. So all these reports that there have been Molotov cocktails thrown, first of all, I don't know that many black people that know what a Molotov cocktail is. Unless they've played GTA. Because that's really the only time that it was introduced to us. Like, oh, shit, you can do what? You put a rag in the alcohol, you can throw it? Oh, shit. So I don't know that many people that know what the hell that is. But apparently there were so many of these thrown that the cops decided to tear gas the crowd again and started arresting people. So last night I'm watching this peaceful protest, and there's nobody around. Like, everybody has followed the curfew. Everybody's gone home. The cops are still out in force for whatever reason. There's nobody on the street. And then a pickup truck rolls in out of nowhere with like 8 people in the back with their hands up. Cops pull them over. They start talking to the people. And then conveniently a Molotov cocktail comes out the back of the truck. And then another one. There's like 3 of them. If you're watching the news and digesting it as it's given to you, you're going to say, well, here they go. There go them people. The cops was right. And if you're cynical about this whole shit, I'm looking at this like, right. Where did these motherfuckers come up out of nowhere conveniently while the cops are there and nobody else is there with some weapons we haven't seen with 9 million cameras in the area? We haven't seen any of this. But right now at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're reporting the story, somebody conveniently rolls up and have weapons on them. Really? Hey, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but shit. Now who's that stupid? You know the police are out there with military weapons and military guns, and why would you do that? Why, like a truck full of people just with bombs at the back?
I mean, there's all kind of reports coming out, and you got to decide what you know what you want to believe, what you want to you know wait on and see more evidence. But I've seen a lot of reports on the ground reports to saying that there's actually plants out there. That the police is planning people to do these certain acts, whether it be to be looters, whether it be to throw weapons against the police to help sway the story. I'm not saying that's true or not. I'm just saying what I've heard. And I'm not. And my thing is this: if it's easy for you to believe that a 6'4" black man needs to be shot because he's so dangerous, and if it's easy for you to believe that black people need to chill, I don't understand why it needs to be hard for me to believe that the cops could want to plant people in the crowd to sway opinion.
Look, man, we've seen, if it's okay for you to believe that this 6'4" black dude is violent enough to warrant being shot, he's dangerous enough to warrant being shot without a weapon, all right? That's what you believe. Then why the fuck should not be upset that we saw somebody shoot up a theater full of people and get walked to the police car?
And be considered troubled.
Yeah, we've seen stories of a kid shoot up a school full of kindergartners and taking out teachers and then kill himself, and the story comes out that he's troubled. We need to look into mental health. Why is that the narrative? But this dude is unarmed and apparently he can destroy somebody, so we got to shoot him dead. But this motherfucker shot up a theater full of people with weapons, with an S, shotguns, semi-automatic weapons, body armor. You know what I'm saying? He's suited. And he gets walked to the police vehicle. We've got people with bombs at public runs, Boston Marathon, getting walked to vehicles. You know what I'm saying? Or being chased down and then being shot. Mike Brown was shot 20 feet away from the vehicle. And allegedly, if we're looking at this, the autopsy, the first autopsy, the unofficial autopsy, those bullet wounds are on the inside. So if you're standing with your arms to your side, like you're in the military, if you're standing there, all of the inside of your arm from the thumb in is what's facing your body. All the bullet wounds are on that side of the arm. They're on the same side of your arm as your palm. So if you put your hands up, oh, well, shit. That's where you would get hit, huh? It's simple math, dude. Unless he's running with his hands up, like, what the fuck? Is he playing basketball defense? I don't get it. I'm frustrated from this shit, and I gotta know, Germ, have you had to address this at all with your kids?
My son, he hadn't caught on this issue yet. He hadn't asked me what's going on, but, you know, we talked, you know, I have, you know, told him, like, before school year that, you know, you need to get your act together, you know, because, you know, it's a tax season on young black men. He's like, what you mean? I said, you right now, 10, 11 year old, I said, you threatening to somebody. I said, and, you know, so you got to be careful. You know, you can't just run up on anybody, you know, just, I said, things are different for you. You know, you're not looked at as like some of your mates, your peers. You're more threatening. Even though my son's soft as a mug, but they don't know that.
But as Paul's worthy as I can make this comment, how tall and how big is your son? Paul.
My son almost about 5 feet. He probably about 150. You know, he's a big boy.
So, you know what I'm saying? But he's not running around like these little leaguers that are 6'3" at 13 years old.
Oh, not at all. Okay. Not yet. Hopefully he get that growth spurt next year.
So, but as a narrative, the way that they would show it is that your son or the kids are playing on your team are playing football, so they're aggressive. And if some shit happened, they probably have to get shot down too.
Yeah, yeah. They'll scour his Instagram page and get a picture of him. The only picture of him, he had a picture that said, niggas be like, you know, and, you know, they'll get that one on him.
That's all they need.
They just need one picture, you know, one picture. Not the picture of him being the Mayday King when he dressed up in the white tux, so, you know. None of his football. Where they get his football picture, one, he not smiling, and when he look like a beast, they'll probably get that one. You know, look how angry he looked at down the football field. You know, he's not smiling in this football picture, you know.
And if you look at the way they did it, so I saw a few pictures of Mike Brown with his graduation cap and gown on. The rest of the pictures I saw was him in his tank top throwing up a peace sign or insert gang name here sign, right? That's the way they try to present it. But the picture of the officer that we saw was him getting a fucking award. That's not an accident.
Can I ask you a question? When is throwing up a peace sign a bad thing?
Well, it depends on how you look at it.
It's a peace.
Oh, well, come on, Jeremy.
His thumb was up.
He put it sideways.
It's a peace sign, though.
He put it sideways, which was bad.
It means peace.
I don't know, Jeremy.
Why is that threatening? If you put up a peace sign.
Well, if you put on a tank top and some jeans, and wasn't the tank top tucked into the jeans? Look here.
Oh, man. You know, GQ Blue cringe today.
But you're 6'4", 300 pounds. Yeah, it's probably a gang sign. That's all I'm saying. It's probably a gang sign.
But it's peace. Like, it's a universal sign for peace.
It's universal for non-black people. So, for black people are throwing up the peace sign in prison photos.
Dang.
So it can't be peace. I'm sorry. It can't be peace. But since I'm the media, not only is it not peace, it's a gang sign. And that's how we're going to use it. He's not so innocent. That's all I'm saying. For the people that are justifying anything that happened before the shooting as a reason for him to die, I had this conversation on Facebook. This is one where I lost a few friends. The post I put up was that I hope, as a kid, you know, when Sawright was young, back in the days of two bits, I had smoked weed before. I have stolen things allegedly from stores before. I have run over the speed limit before. I have had fights. I have had unprotected sex. I've done all this shit, reckless shit. And I would hope that if a story comes out that I got killed, y'all wouldn't be looking for those stories to justify my death. And that's what they did to Mike Brown. And that's what they do to us every time. And it's enough is enough, man. And one of my homeboys, somebody I thought was a homeboy, when I put that stat up, his immediate response was, did you go after a cop's gun? Now, this is somebody I played softball with, somebody I was cool with. Did you steal the gun? I guess he's trying to be tongue-in-cheek, trying to play, right? I don't think he really meant it that way. He was trying to say, fuck your argument. Have you stolen the gun, the cop's gun? And I said, it depends on who you ask. So now we checking wits, and it goes on and on, and he doesn't answer the question. He ends up saying, well, why would you steal the cop's gun? And I said, well, why would you believe that? Or would you believe it? I said, you've known me for all this time. Does that cop story hold more weight than what you know about me? It's a white dude. He still didn't answer. And that's what the fuck we're dealing with, is they're giving this officer the benefit of the doubt every time, because they have the ability. They have the, what's the word I'm looking for, GQ? They have the,
privilege.
Privilege, thank you. They have the privilege to expect that the law is going to work properly.
But being a police officer is a tough job. You know, these criminals, you can lose your life at any moment.
Oh, yeah. Even if the person doesn't have a weapon, you can apparently lose your life. Hey, you signed up for that shit, yo. You took that job.
You're right.
That's what you decided to fucking do.
You're right.
So you have to know that every time you step out the door, you may not make it back. But you can't go into that thinking that one person, because of his race, is going to be more apt to take your life than another person. And that's what they do. And that's what they've done. And the stats that GQ has shows you that the shit don't work out that way. GQ, do you have those stats?
Which ones you want?
The ones that you sent us today that, you know, since me and Jerm can't read.
Oh, about the Ferguson?
Yeah, about the numbers.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you guys the whole breakdown of the stats that I have. Some of these are gonna be repeats from earlier. 21,000 people live in Ferguson. 67.4% are African American. Their police force is 53 officers, 50 white, 3 African American. But there's a report by the police department that's saying it's 49 white officers and 4 black officers. So, you know, great.
That makes progress. It a whole lot better. Yeah,
I know, right? That's a huge progress. And that's from the police department, and that's the Census Bureau. So UCLA, they actually did a study, because they have a center that looks at police equity across the country in terms of how they operate and the laws and how they break down in terms of stats. They said in 2013, there were 5,384 stops in Ferguson. 86% of those people that were stopped. Now, mind you, 67% of the city or the suburb is black. 86% of those 5,384 were black. There were 611 searches done on those who were stopped, and out of that 611, 92% were black. Also, even though on those stops, it was found that the white passengers were 2 times likely than the black passengers to have contraband. 93% of those stopped and were arrested after being stopped were black.
Wow.
there's nothing else to say about this shit.
And we did not pull this from our asses. This is from a study conducted by the University of California,
Blue,
LA.
Not Saul Wright or King Jerm. This is from GQ Blue.
And this is 2013, so this is not like some 1969 stat I'm looking at. This is from 2013.
It sounds like a 1969 stat.
That's the scary part about it, right? Like, we laughing, but we laughing out of disbelief. Like, this shit is the same. It's the fucking same. Look, like I said before, man, go back. I said this on one of the other 124 Frocasts that we've done. Go back, look at the Harrison Act of 1914. It's the same fucking story. It's the same story. We get hyped up on drugs. We're attacking white people. We need to be shut the fuck down. Nothing's new. Nothing's new. And when you add to the fact that St. Louis and Chicago, a lot of the public schools are closing. There's an issue right now in St. Louis where a high school closed, a major high school closed. They ended up busing those kids out to a white school. The white people protested. The next year, those kids aren't allowed back in that school. So now we have to figure out where we're going to put these 2,000 or 3,000 students because your school doesn't want black people here. This is regular shit. So
we pulling the state funding from your school then. How about that? You don't want black kids at your school? You want to get any state funding?
Sorry, this is a private schools.
Private, we can do what you want to do.
We can switch you. We got some funding, but you know, we got a lot of boosters, so we're not going to let you come here either. So now we're closing all the public schools. All that's left are magnet schools that are all fucked up. If you study taking opportunities away from people, what do you expect them to do? And I know that there's a Franz Fanon quote that I can't think of right now about the colonized and uprising. Oh, GQ, help me out. At the end of the day, if you study victimize the people that you're oppressing, at some point they're going to uprise. And you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it. And we see this systematically throughout the country. This is why I'm upset that more of my white friends ain't speaking up on it. This is why we felt like we had to do this show about it. There's a lot of shit we could have talked about, but at the same time, this is the only shit we could talk about, if you know what I'm saying. That's why we had to do this show, and it could have been much longer. We've been talking to you guys for about an hour and some change.
Can I make my inflammatory statement before we finish off the show?
Please do.
All right. I'm gonna say this, and if you want to write in the show and say FGQ Blue, I welcome it.
I'm writing right now. How do I spell GQ Blue?
GQ _ FUCK BONT.
Go for it, bro.
And I'm not going to just say this case. I'll allow you to have a certain level of evidence. But if you are a black person who constantly sides with the story that, you know, oh, he deserved it, or he should have known better, or that's the problem with you all. I don't know why y'all can't get right. I was able to overcome X, Y, and Z. You hate yourself. You hate black people. And sure. And that's all. There's no other way. There's no way for you to constantly see your people oppressed and continuously being beaten, continuously being locked out or pushed aside for opportunity to advance, to do better. There's no way for you to see a people who are constantly tasked and asked to do for themselves and constantly step up with flying colors to answer those calls and charges. But you completely keep on saying, oh, well, what about my cousin that I noticed, you know, scamming the food stamp system, or my one cousin I know that, you know, broken or smokes weed all the time. That's called reductionist theory, right? You can't do that in actual study. You can't constantly just go back to your own experience. You don't have a sample size large enough to say anything accurate. Mm. So for you, you hate yourself. And you hate me. And get it together.
Start snitching. All you motherfuckers in that stop snitching movement and complaining about black folks and your cousin is stealing from the food stamp system, start snitching. You the fucking problem too. You just as guilty. Start snitching. Now look. I say that, and if there's repercussions, that's on you. You grown-ass man or woman.
But to close it out, yes, there are black criminals. Yes, there are black scam artists. And yes, there are black people that are just downright bad. But I see way, way more hardworking fathers, hardworking mothers, students, and all right good people just trying to live out here. That's what I see. And that's not because I have blinders on. And for the people who I see who need help, I'm out here trying to make a difference and help them. And if you can't see that, I don't know what's wrong. You got to look harder.
Hey, man, I appreciate your shit. Jerm, you got any more thoughts to close us out before we give our shout-outs and get out this show? Because we could be here all day with this shit.
Oh, no, man. Y'all boys covered it all, man. I mean, it's been a great show. Informative. You know.
I mean, you know, we're not Don Lemon. Or Rachel Maddow, or you know what I'm saying? Melissa
Harris Perry.
I keep wanting to go back to her maiden name for some reason.
What is her maiden name?
Lacewell Perry.
Mm-hmm. Oh. She had a book that came out under that name.
That's when I first found out about it, and I shouldn't objectify her on the show. We're going to leave her alone.
You want to say hi, Melissa? What did you just say?
I was going to, but I can't do that right now. We're being serious and shit. And I say this all the time when we get through a show like this, and Be Easy docks my pay, but I'm going to say it again. We're not the media. And when I say that, I'm saying fuck the responsibility for giving you other shit. We give you our thoughts. You go research it. If we got some stats for you, that's a plus. But I don't want to be classified as the media because they not doing shit right. And I don't want to have the responsibility of having to hold your thoughts in my hand. Fuck that shit. We some dudes with a mic. We get out here and talk about stuff. We could have talked about this a lot more and give you a lot more facts and a lot more stuff to digest. Hey, you've been dealing with it for a week. Draw your own conclusions. But the shit that we've seen, this is how we feel about it, man. Jerm, give me your shout out so we can get the hell out of here.
Losers this week is the Ohio State University. Braxton Miller is out for the year.
Is he out for the year now?
Out for the season, dog. And so, so that's my big loser. My winner this week is the people of college football, fans of college football. We are a week away from the start of the season, so it's almost that time. And shout out to the whole, you know, my family, Queen Jern, everybody's in the Fro League. I hope y'all enjoy the commercial, whatever you want to call it, a preview for the draft. It's pretty cool. And that's it. Oh, yeah. A special shout out to my homegirl out in Chicago, Tracy May. Been enjoying your videos and Instagram photos lately. keep up the good work.
Oh, man. Shit. Go ahead, GQ.
I don't know if I have any winners or losers, but I'm about to shoehorn this in real quick at the end. Shout out to my man, Jahari, one of the most righteous brothers I know. He made a note and he talked about, he's been covering the Mike Brown stuff a lot, you know, on his Facebook and his avenues of social media. But one thing he also posted and we kind of talked about it briefly, RIP Robin Williams, but he talked about his issues with depression and, you know, actually had a failed attempt at suicide. He talked about the fact for black people and black men especially, the fact that we need to, you know, be more serious about mental health and get that checked out because it's a quiet kill. It's getting a lot of us out here. So I was, just want to say for his courage to, you know, admit that and talk about it, props to him because it is an issue that we don't talk about too much in the black community that we should. So shout out to him. He's my winner for that. I guess my loser is, damn, it's probably gotta be Ohio State. Shit, if you don't got Braxton Miller, I don't know how you're gonna get through the season. Shout out to the whole Fro Nation. I miss y'all, man, talking, you know, with you guys and informing the people. Shout out to Q. I'm killing it, her new job.
Hey, Q.
And I think that's about it, man. Oh, yeah, shout out to the mob, Blue Fi.
Hey, man, winners and losers, shit. We all losers. We all losers right now. Like, this situation for me has been, it's not just the St. Louis tie-in, it's the frustration, you know, just being tired of the same shit. And living in Austin, I think there's like 2% black people out here, 2.6 or something stupid. And it's not an issue out here. Like, this Mike Brown situation didn't happen. There's nothing here. So, trying to control that frustration this far away from the crib with people that don't have any understanding of what's going on is hard as fuck. But we're all losers. All of us. You know what I'm saying? It's all fucked up. We're all losers. I ain't got no way.
How far away? So if I'm in St. Louis, how far away do I have to go to Ferguson?
Okay. So the way St. Louis is set up, everywhere is drivable within 15, 20 minutes. The way it's set up is that St. Louis, like most places, St. Louis is considered downtown and some of the surrounding areas. And then everything else is suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
So for me personally, I drove through Ferguson. The street that they're on, West Florissant, I drove down that street every day to go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. And I lived in Florissant. Ferguson, Florissant, a lot of that shit is tied together. The school district, they share a school district, Ferguson, Florissant school district. So literally, you're within driving minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Where they are is about 15 minutes away from the airport, which is considered St. Louis.
Now, isn't that the real burbs? Because everything technically now, since cities incorporate, considered a suburb. But like, is that like the burbs, like the real nice part of town? We talk about like a suburb, or is that
no? Okay. No, Ferguson is not real nice at all.
Because technically, I live in a suburb, but Shively's not a suburb.
It's 60% black, GQ Blue. It can't be nice.
I mean, hey, PG County, I mean, they balling out there.
Talking about like in Maryland, Prince George County?
Yeah.
I thought it was hood out there, too.
No.
That's true. You're talking about black people with $400,000 homes that can actually afford them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think PG County is like the richest majority black suburb in the country.
What?
Yeah, PG County's up there.
But speaking of Ferguson, also, too, I got to shout out Councilwoman Attica Scott, District 1, and Kalila Collins, Director of Packing Action, which is a teen dating prevention group here in Louisville that went out there this weekend. Shout out to them, man, for doing good work here in Louisville and being in solidarity out there in Ferguson. And my man Rashad, he went out there, too, to protest. And J. Cole. J. Cole went out there, too, man, leading the march and shit.
How do y'all feel about that? Do our entertainers and athletes need to be out there saying something?
I don't think they need to, for the fact that I think we all have a platform and we can all exercise it equally. I think if they do, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful, but I'm not about to write think pieces and spend all my time so I can actually do something positive and then just trying to call out people.
Gotcha. Oh, can I please say that we do have some losers? All you motherfuckers on Twitter plugging your mixtapes with the Mike Brown hashtag, kill yourself.
Oh wow.
My goodness.
Kill yourself, nigga. Oh, yeah. We out here representing for Mike Brown. And you press play on the video, and it's a nigga smoking blunts, looking an asshole, bitches dancing. Stop that shit. Hands up, don't shoot. Hashtag Mike Brown. Hashtag just for Mike Brown. Hashtag Ferguson. Hashtag quit plugging your shitty ass music with that. Stop that shit. Sit your punk ass down. Damn. I'm pissed off, man. Let's get the fuck out of here, man. This is nappyafro.com. We can be seen. The Frocast, Nappy Afro, the Fro Horseman, all of that shit can be found on the Nappy Afro on Twitter, on Facebook, on what else? Instagram, on
Christian Mingle.
Christian Mingle, Stitcher, Black Planet, Black People Meet,
Podomatic.
Nappy Afro. If you look up Nappy Afro or you look up the Frocast, you will find us. Check out our podcast. Check out our articles, our music reviews.
Leave us 5-star reviews.
That'd be great. We appreciate it. Buy a shirt from store.nappyafro.com. Buy a shirt. Support us. We appreciate y'all. If you have stuff you want to talk about, stuff you want to hear us talk about, comments you want to leave, you can shoot us an email, nappyafromail@gmail.com. You can leave it on our site, on this article. Do what you
want to
do.
Leave it everywhere. It don't even have to be Nappy Afro. Go on OK Player and say, hey, we want Nappy Afro. Go on.
Wait, what is that?
Anywhere. Anywhere that's about hip hop. Don't even talk about hip hop. Go to the Martha Stewart Comfy Living website and say, we want Nappy Afro right here, Martha Stewart. Go everywhere. Talk about us.
Global 14. Talk about us, man. Nappy Afro, we're everywhere. We will holler at y'all next time on the Frocast. It's your man Saul Wright, King Germ, and GQ Blue. We will holler at you next time. Peace.
Peace.
I am. Y'all right, man. It is the richest county with a majority black county in the United States.
Okay. Yeah. We are renegades. This means war. 16th bus to break unjust laws. Overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades, never slaves, this means 100% uncut raw. Fuck limited freedom, nigga, we want more. The machine is corrupted down to the core. Rap-hearted motherfucker, this
means I got a middle war. Finger from mass media, mute the news. It's when the gun draws received a million views, which gives me the right to break the rules. Say fuck radio if the people can't pick and choose. While BT gets screwed by Viacom, the new revolutionary is Shyamalan. It's not crush fire rap, it's five along. Motivational music after I am gone. My inner visions, mysticism, call me Mr. Wisdom. They wanna turn the globe into a prison. And being sick is better than being dead. Cause when you sick and in bed, you're indebted to meds. Clone chickens walking around without heads. The food is contaminated, the water got lead in it. Population control, make the baby sick. RFID chips, are you for 86? This is a war against consciousness. Control of your soul, sort of a psychological dictatorship.
and we all on the front line. Guilty as charged if intellect is the crime set.
We are renegades, this means war. 16's bust to break unjust laws. Overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades, never slaves, this means war. 100% uncut raw. Fuck limited freedom, nigga, we want more. The machine is corrupted down to the core. Rebel army, motherfucker, this means war.
Alhamdulillah, it's a spiritual calling. My old Tanetta, we are still mourning. It's not a documentary about global warming. This is lunar explosions, a global warning. But when the moon bleeds, you can't tell night from morning. City submerged underwater post New Orleans. It's not your average rap recording. This is insane, lieutenants taking aim at Mormons. While the American brain remains dead and dormant. My stimuli supplied by my endorphins. The mind's eye greater than pie and broadband. I break on through to the other side without dormant. It's not the doors, man. I am equipped with a better memory chip than dolphins. With more keys to open more doors than four foremans. To executive rooms where they're walking on all fours, man. Canine standing upright amongst you. Aided by swine spreading the H1N1 flu. On some wavy shit, are you 486? Population control, make the baby sick. This is the war against consciousness. Controlling your soul, sort of a psychological dictatorship. And I am on the front line. Guilty as charged, defending like it's a crime set.
We are renegades, this means war. 16's bust to break unjust laws. Overthrow regimes in the name of the cause. Renegades, never slaves, this means war. 100% uncut raw. Fuck limited freedom, nigga, we want more. The machine is corrupted down to the core. Rebel army, motherfucker, this means war.
Afro.com.